Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navani Tamastu Mahavir Vishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Feel that? Raising children in Krishna consciousness. Or raising Krishna consciousness. Children. Okay, children's nature is here. So, it's mentioned that in the nature of the child, then you're going to get a quarter of that will come from what their nature was last life. Right? Then part of that will come through this life. Then, in last life, if the death rites are performed, then that full amount will come through. And if not, it'll tend to be blocked, right? Then, whatever family you appear in this life, and then association. So you can't really do a whole lot about the first two, but that's just saying where it's coming from. And they're also a peer in the family, so then association becomes the only thing that you can actually control. So by proper association, then someone is elevated. By bad association, then someone is degraded. That's the basic principle. Because we're talking about that the purpose of human life then being Krishna consciousness. That's the whole goal of human life. Then the performance of all our ordinary duties, their only advantage is in how much they're supportive of God consciousness. Otherwise, to have done something, to have, you know, raised a family, gotten money, made things secure, and that's all you did, and then you die, then technically it's all lost. Because what will be their next life, that you can't say. So anything that's material, you know, so morality, piety, varnashram, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are all material elements. Now, these being used in the Lord's service, they become a value. They're not used in the Lord's service, then they're just a nice waste of time. Like that. Does that make sense? They're a better waste of time than not following the rules. But they're still a waste of time because they do nothing for the soul. Only when they're connected to the Lord. So therefore then, it's just a matter of what the position is now, and by having good association, then they can move forward. They can become better. Right? So that's the whole idea. So the association is about God consciousness. Okay, so we see that children, by nature, are personal. They like to make everything personal. It's about people. Even their, how you say, their toys and dolls and that, doesn't matter. It's a truck, it's got to have a face on it. Right? You know, whatever it is. I mean, if it smiles, they like it. It's not smiling, it's grumpy, they don't like it. Right? So it's about people. That's just the natural position of children. And then from there, then it goes on further. So, therefore, because it's personal, it's about relationships that they learn. Relationships is then what happens. How they're interested, how they do things. So, the better the relationship with the child, the better they learn. Right? Because if they like what you're doing, then they will like being like what you do. And if you're Krishna conscious, then that's a benefit. Of course, if you're a materialist and they like you and they do that and become materialistic, yes, it'll become like you, but one hasn't really given much benefit. So the idea is that if you want the children to become Krishna conscious, you have to be Krishna conscious. Right? If you're Krishna conscious, you apply that into your life, then everything becomes, it works very well. So, yeah. So these modern concepts that we see of, you know, about dealing with children, and they work on these principles of children, things they've observed. But the difficulty is because they're generic and they're not based on the scriptural position, then they tend to be for some mundane purpose. Right? They're not actually meant to be engaged in the Lord's service, because that's not the purpose of modern psychology. Right? The modern pedagogy, all these different things, it's all about how someone will become part of the society, become successful, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise, and, you know, be well situated in material happiness. So only the Vedic version, then, that can actually deal with the position that the children have a nature, a general nature as children, but they have a specific nature as that specific person, and then they have that they're the soul. So one has to be able to see all these things. So therefore, it's the association is how you then govern the children, how you control the children. They're in good association, proper association, they'll grow up one way. They don't get much association, they get bad association, they'll grow up different. So it's very simple, right? So that's why in the Vedic system, then they're with the parents, because they'll give that full time when they're small, because when they get bigger, parents don't give the full time. They just don't. Like let's say so many persons come to a program, they bring their kids, where are they? They're at the program. The kids didn't want to come to the program. Where are the kids? They're out playing somewhere. You don't even know what they're doing. Right? You understand? So that's the principle, is that they're not getting association. So we can say, no, but, you know, we're in the house, we're watching, we're this, but you can't. Because you're trying to take care of your sadhana, or the aspects of the family. But their training is something that it's nice. One is interested. Some people can do a little homeschooling. Like that, nice. But other than that, they can't do all the things. Right? So that's the idea. The Vedic system is then the school that's able to put that, because that's the occupation. Does that make sense? Means whether you can do your sadhana or not, or put in time for your family or not, you will be at your job. Right? So that's the whole thing in the Vedic system. Then the teachers, that's their job. So they're there. They're teaching the kids. Right? That's what they do. So that's going to happen. Does that make sense? Can any parent say that, even in the modern context, that they can put in 6 solid hours a day training their kids? No. And that's just the karmi education. Right? The Vedic is, you know, sunrise to sunset, so you get 12 hours. What parent can do that? They can't. When they're small, yes. That's the whole point. When they're small, they're at home, they get the best benefit there. Right? The whole idea, yeah. And then when they get older, then the teachers, in that context, they train the children. Then when they get matured and they graduate from their education, then again they go back into that home environment, and then one can spend so much time, because you don't have to give that time just to make sure that they're not, you know, burning the house down. Right? They're doing something of value. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're a teacher, then you still shouldn't do that? You should still give it to another teacher?
Yes. It means boys. Girls you can train yourself, but boys you shouldn't. Because the familiarity is that you're not going to necessarily point things out. Right? And so, or if you do, how you'll do it, the method will be different. It'll have all the emotional elements to it and all that kind of things. And because of attachment, one will expect that the child, being your own child, they'll do what they, being like you, will naturally do what you want them to do without you even having to tell them what to do. But training doesn't work like that. It works because someone's telling them what to do. So that's why training in the home, at least for the boys, is not ideal. Girls, yes, because girls will be conscious, you know, and there's a rapport that's there that you can figure things out. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So girls can be trained at home, just boys don't do very good at home.
Right? Especially by the mother.
Even by the father, because how much can the father say? You know, it'll be too much, too little, like this. I mean, there'll be things, of course, that you'll get benefit from. But it won't be in all the little details, because the father has come home from work. Right? He has to, you know, get over that. Then, having come home from work, then his wife has his time. And that's like, you know, how you say it? Tiptoeing through the, well, I wouldn't say tulips here, maybe a minefield, but whatever, you know, trying to make sure he does everything right. So it's not that there's any point to relax. You know what I'm saying? The other is that physical work to this, but there's no emotion. Now it's the emotional. It may not have any of the other things to it. So how is he going to get into the little detail of how his son dealt with something? If he happens to see it, he catches it, yes, but he's not going to be able to put that much time. So if he's doing something with the child, you know, they go out to do something, then he'll notice in there, and that's where you'll get benefit. But that's, it can't, it's not steady, it's not regular. Does that make sense? So you see, even historically in the Western culture, when, you know, the adults went out to the fields and the kids were like 12 or something whenever they went, they would be with them all day. So then, yes, they would learn these things. They'd tell them all these things, and so you get more of a proper training. They'd still be very attached to household life. They wouldn't know so much about transcendence. But at least they would have a little bit about culture, responsibility, and this and that. But they were with the men all day. Not in the home environment, because the home environment is actually the mother's place. Right? Does that make sense? So it has to balance in there. So getting all that, then it's not, it, the kids don't have, aren't going to get that full attention. Well, at the school, they're going to get attention, because that's just what the teachers do. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it's only when they get given full attention that they become aware of things. Otherwise, on their own, they'll get into their own world. And they'll be aware of things just to how they do it, but they won't be aware of others. You understand? So to work in a social environment, you have to be aware of others, not just in your own head. Right? You know, that's the kind of cliche about nerds, is they function in their own world. They don't know how to deal with other people. You know, their best friends is, you know, halfway across the planet, and they're, you know, in the same game they are at the same level. You know, and that's their best friend. Never seen them. You know, Warrior 108, you know, like that. They don't even know who the guy is, right? Could be a 40-year-old, you know, truck driver or something. No? Like that, yeah. Okay, so. So the faith, then, we see by development, the children are there, they have to be trained in the faith in Krishna consciousness, right? That's how sadhana bhakti works. We have faith in Shastra. So when we have faith in Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra and authority, then we try to take up that process. Right? Then you'll use your intelligence how to apply that faith. So we see is that, therefore, if you're in good association, then the intelligence is being used on how to develop that faith and connection with Krishna. But if it's bad association, the intelligence is being used for some material purpose. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to be very, very careful. It's not just anybody or anything, or, you know, well, it should just work out, or, well, I can't do this, or all these things. It's that this is why it's there. It's being given so that we know what we're dealing with, right? The more we know what we're dealing with, then the easier it is. Does that make sense? You should know what's the strengths, what's the weaknesses, what, how everything works like this. Okay. So now, here in the family and culture, then we see that when... I mean, ideally, you know, we're talking in all these things, what's the best position, but we're talking from that so we understand how it's working, what it's functioning. So then in the relationship, everything's functioning on this masculine and feminine principle. Because it's always Krishna and his energy. Right? So he's the cause, he's the effect. So you see his nature in both. Right? That's always going to be there. So then we're going to always want to try to see that if that we have that position, that there is a father and a mother, and they both understand their position and how all these things work. Right? Because otherwise, if the parents themselves are working with their own issues on who they are, what they are, like this, you know, they're getting confused on which option within on the Facebook of the 56 options for gender, which one to choose. Don't worry, your kids will be confused also. Right? So, the whole point is that if we're understanding who we are, how we're a devotee, what is our duties, then the children will be trained better. So the whole idea is that by doing whatever you're doing, you improve by that. Just like we see is that when we're talking about the nine processes of devotional service, Sukadeva Goswami became perfect by speaking Bhagavatam. Sukadeva by hearing it. Excuse me. Parikshit by hearing it, Sukadeva by speaking it. Does that make sense? So therefore then parents, by being parents, if they see it in connection with Krishna, by doing that in connection with Krishna, service to Krishna, then they get benefit themselves. They themselves also advance their Krishna consciousness. Does this make sense? Because otherwise on your own you may not think about it. Because kids will ask, why are you doing this? You're putting on tilak, why? You know, you have to answer it. Right? So these kind of things, if you're comfortable, you're situated, you know why you're doing things, then the child will be all that much more solid also. If you don't know why you're doing it, you're just doing it out of sentiment or doing it out of, you know, some social custom or, you know, because otherwise others will make the criticism, then that's what they'll learn. Does that make sense? Like, let's say, in Mangalarti, you dance because you like to dance. Your children will dance. But if you're only dancing at Mangalarti because your children are there to set example, and if they weren't there, you wouldn't dance, they won't dance. You're thinking, what's wrong? Why aren't they dancing? I'm dancing. No, you're not dancing. You understand? That's how it works. Children, it's because it's said, the first birth is animal birth. And we know, animals are very sensitive to what your mood is. You walk into the room, the dog likes you, doesn't like you. Right? Does it know what you are? Does it know that, okay, you're a professional and you make, you know, how you say, $120,000 a year and all this, and that's why the other people in the house like you, but the dog, does he go by that? No, he just goes by what your mood is. He couldn't care less what your job is. You understand? So that's the whole thing. The kids will catch the mood that the parents have. That's why the apple and the tree are very close to each other. So whatever your mood is, that's what they'll catch. What you're doing will also have an effect, but the mood is the most strong thing. Does that make sense? So if you're there, you're have that affection, put in that time, put in that energy, you're putting it in because you want to, not because you have to, then they'll pick that up. And then they'll be blossom very nicely. You're doing it just because you have to, then they'll do things just because they have to. And if they don't have to, they won't do it. Understand? This is the reality of what they pick up. You know, all this model, well, there's this and that, and doing all these, no. It's just they pick up the mood. Because that's how it works. Then, what makes them from animals into human is the training in what is human behavior, human knowledge, human practice. And with that, then you get that human element. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then they won't know. They'll just go on like animals, just they get to be bigger and bigger animals. Right? Does that make sense? You had a hamster in your house. Okay, they're cute and cuddly. You know, you have a water buffalo, you know, full grown, may not be so cute and cuddly. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that they'll just grow up. So small animals are always cute and nice. Doesn't matter what animal it is, they're cute. Right? Even the ugliest animal, their babies are cute. They get a little older, then they become less cute. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that there's that stage between, they have that inherent innocence in that, so that's when it has to be, training is there. But you have to train them in what you do, because they know. It's like that in anything. If you're telling people to do things that you do, you can get them to do it. If you're telling people to do stuff you can't do, they can't do it, or don't want to do it. So this idea is, well, I'm in charge, I'm the authority, therefore it's all going to happen, is totally bogus. Because we're dealing with people. People work with people. Therefore, you have authority in as much as you follow. Does that make sense? You're a good student, you'll be a good teacher. You're a good disciple, you'll be a good teacher. You're independent, you don't like authority, you like to do things your own way. Remember the apple in the tree. And if you're wondering, how come my kids like them? No. You're saying, they're so different from me, they don't do what I know. They're doing exactly what you do. Right? Just they're a little more up to date, that's all. Yes, so here, that point is that with this one thing here, parents value whether someone's watching or not. Children will do what the parents value. In other words, what the parents do when no one's watching, that's what the child will learn inherently. The things you do because they're watching, that they won't learn. They may know it's there, it may be intellectually there, but it won't be inherent. So if you keep things tidy, whether anyone's there, if no one's coming over to the house and you keep things tidy, they will be tidy. You only do it when people come over, they'll only do it when someone will look at it. Does that make sense? So whatever your actual values are, that's what they're going to take. So that's why we say association is the most important thing. That's appreciated, then you'll understand that you have to be more Krishna conscious. So it's not having children is just, well, we'll enjoy this. There is no such thing as anything in the material world, we'll just enjoy this, right? Right? Like money. You'll just enjoy money, right? You don't have to work, nothing. There'll just be money, you'll enjoy it. Isn't that how it works? No, how much you work is how much you get. So the point is you want your kids to be Krishna conscious, that means you have to be that much Krishna conscious. Right? That's the whole point. So it's an opportunity to be more Krishna conscious, but actual Krishna conscious, not making a show of Krishna consciousness. Because as we said, they understand. Right? You know, you come in and you're trying to sneak into the house and the dog's there and you say, oh, come, that cute doggy, and that, they know what you're doing. Right? So kids are the same. Just, they don't bite as much. Yeah, so this whole point is the sense of association is the core point. If you don't give association, they will take it from somewhere else. That's just the way it goes. So if you're putting in the time, then they'll respond to that. You don't, then they'll look for that time elsewhere. And that time elsewhere, especially in the modern environment, means of other children of their exact same age. And so you have a bunch of, you know, how you say, 9-year-olds. What kind of social structure are they going to work out? Right? If you're not really sure, up to date, try referencing Lord of the Flies. Right? That's what kids of that age do when there's no adults and they're the authority. Right? Basically, kill each other. Literally. So that's the whole point, is that They'll make up their own cults because there's no adults showing them. There's no adults to put in energy that they value so much that they want to learn these things. Their friends are willing to put in the time and energy, do things with them, talk with them, discuss with them, you know. And so they learn that. They learn that language. They learn that behavior, that their values. Does that make sense? So you're putting it in. You're seeing they're getting good association, then that doesn't happen. So that naturally happens that you take the broader social thing. When you're in the Gurukul environment, then there's so many others, but they're all being directed by the teachers. And so then it works very nicely. So, does that make sense? Because there you do have the place, you do have the, you know what I'm saying? It means there is space here. This is why it's done in this way. Especially boys. They need space. Girls, no. Just in the area of these two huts here, you could run girls' school very nicely. But boys, no. It has to be from here all the way over to that next road over there. Otherwise it's not big enough. Because right? They have to go out, do things, this, that, so many things. Right? You know? Just like for the boys' development, somehow or another, falling out of trees is really important. Why? I have no idea. Like that. You know, girls are smarter than that. They just look at the tree and go, no. So, they're, it's different. We'll get into that. Okay. And so then what we're explaining to the children, well, that should be consistent. That's why then if we base our life on Shastra, it will be consistent. Because Shastra says the same thing all the time. Right? Then by going through that, then the children grow up, it's consistent. Like we were saying about the curriculum. It's consistent. There's core values, there's core methods, and from that then everything expands. So you can always see the continuity. So if in your lifestyle it's the same thing, then they'll also be more solid. But if you base your lifestyle on these modern theories, then depends how up to date you are. If you're quite up to date, every 6 months it'll be different. And if you're not up to date, then you'll be doing something that's 20 years old and it still doesn't work. Right? So one has to value Krishna consciousness. That's what you'll get, that the children will get from you. Because that's the foundation, that's the fundament. That they develop that religious and God-conscious fundaments from the parents. Details they may not know, that will be practiced in the school. But they'll at least have the foundation of that, that something is there. So now, as the children go up, they start to, you know, become more aware of the environment and all that, that we're exposed to. Then they'll start asking questions. Answering these questions is very important, seeing that human life is qualified by one thing, atato brahma jigyasa. Right? They inquire, who are they? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What's the purpose of life? Right? That's whole point is there. So it means about questions. So if we're not asking questions, then how are we going to find out? So kids always ask questions. I mean, a lot of questions. Right? It's because they want to know. They don't know. They don't know why they shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't they throw the ball through the front window? Right? So you have to explain it. Right? Because in their mind, you throw it through the front window and it smashes and it's fun, makes noise, and then the window goes back to normal and then they do it again. You know, it's like the toys. You take it. It's nice, you drop it, and once you drop it, it breaks. That was fun. Now you put it back together, and then you can drop it again. They don't understand. You drop it, you break it, that's it, it's finished. No, you're supposed to be able to fix it. Because it's all in their head. Does that make sense? So, therefore, they don't know. They ask. And so you have to answer. This is now probably one of your most major points of the difference between a teacher and a parent. Because the parent, what's going to be the problem? They'll answer one question, two questions. They're not going to answer necessarily the run of 6 or 7 or 8 questions, which is where it'll go. Right? And so, therefore, is why? Because they have other things to do. I'm busy now. Don't you? Mommy's busy now. Daddy's got to go to work now. Right? We'll answer your questions later. And that's all right. If you do have something in that, and as long as later you put in that effort and do answer the questions. But if you don't, after a while they'll see as asking questions and getting answers is not popular. Therefore, we won't. Right? And then they'll just turn into sheep like everyone else. Now, whether they're going to be sheep in the same detail as the parents, or they're going to choose other friends and be sheep like that. But this is where it goes. Now, if you answer those questions, so the teachers, that's what they do. That's all they do. They deal with these questions. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Marsh, can you expand a little bit more about value systems and how
by association means that you have your value system, and by being around the children, living your life, and them being in that association, that environment, then they'll naturally pick that up. But what we're saying is they may not pick up the understanding or the detail of it, but they'll pick up the principle of it. You know what I'm saying? Just like you have respect for authority, they'll have respect for authority. You don't have respect for authority, even though you're talking as if you do, they'll pick up and not have respect for authority. And what we always have to remember is, if the parent doesn't respect authority, then the child won't respect authority, okay? And we can understand that, yes. But then the problem comes down is that the parent is an authority. They won't respect you. Because we're thinking that, no, they won't respect authority means outside the home, but in the home they'll respect. No, authority is one principle. It's one principle. You break it, the whole thing gets broken. That's why this modern thing is, oh no, we don't, you know, not leadership or not this or that or Vedic culture. That it will impact on your accepting. Then the Guru, Krishna, the whole process of devotional service as authority also. It's all authority. But we're thinking, oh no, I'll just pick and choose. It's a principle. Does that make sense? We can use our intelligence to choose proper authority and reject what's not proper authority. That's alright, but we're basing it on authority. Not just what's good for me or what I like or don't like. Does that make sense? So we see is that the parenting element means we ourselves have to really look at our own life and actually be Krishna conscious. We have to become more self-realized, because if we do, then the children will be. So it's just another opportunity to become Krishna conscious. That's what we're meaning. It's not grihastha life means just kick back and enjoy. No, it's called an ashram, because you're supposed to progress in spiritual life. And by you progressing, the children will progress. Right? And as they progress, you see that, you get inspired, you progress. It naturally nourishes each other. Does that make sense? If it's just about enjoying yourself and like that and why we have to do all these things, that also is given in the Shastras. It's also an accepted position where it's just that we are in family life and then we're just here to enjoy that family life. The Sanskrit term that they use for that is called Grihamedi. Where the griha is the center of attention, not Krishna, not God consciousness, just the household. And then we'll fit in Krishna or anything else around the center of our house. And of course in the center of the house is always ourselves, so then there's a problem because each member of the house wants to be the center. And so then there'll be some conflict. So unless you come from an old tradition where it's already defined who does what and how each one is the center of attention, then they'll can get along to some degree. But if you work on the modern thing, then everybody's the center, everybody's the victim, everybody has rights, and therefore no one will get along. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's important, therefore, to give the time, give the thing to explain. Because in that, what's the problem with going through these things? Because you have to think to give an answer. And that's the problem. You don't want to think. It just should happen. Kids are there because they're nice to be around. Therefore, if they ask questions, there should just be something nice to be around. No, you have to use your brain. And so using your brain, then they'll go. Because then he says, you know, don't do that. And then they'll say, why? Because it's not good. Why? Right? Because we're expecting it'll end there. because we're the authority. We said it's not good. That's it. No, they want to know why it's not good. You understand? And so as it goes, they just keep going. Okay. No, because then people will talk. Why? Why does that matter that they talk? Oh, because of the social. Why does that matter? Because we're just taking all these things for granted that they're all so important. But in actuality, if we look at it, most of it is not necessarily. So just by answering all their questions, you'll start to actually even look at your own life and what you have to do. So you have to see is that it's all a process. Everybody's growing by this process. Does that make sense? That's why it's an ashram. As a brahmachari, then you advance. As a grihastha, you advance. As a vanaprastha, all of them are meant to advance in Krishna consciousness. They just have different forums, different mediums through which they do that. Does that make sense? Right. So now, in one of the most important elements that's there, especially for the younger children, that they learn the most from is stories. So all these different things, the Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, all these aspects, these stories, they learn from. They see what people did. What was their mood? How they responded? Like, how did Arjuna respond? How did Yudhishthira respond? Like, how did Yudhishthira respond at the gambling match? Was he yelling and screaming and claiming he's the victim and all that? No, he didn't do that. Right? So, these things, they gain from that. They know these things. They hear these things. And if we value them and explain them and all that, then it goes very, very nicely. Does that make sense? Also, you have to be very, very careful because cartoons are also stories. And they're giving a certain value. Right? And so it's easy to, you know, keep them busy watching, you know, cartoons, but then they also pick up those values. So if you ever wonder where did they get that from, you might check that one. You know, what does, you know, whatever it is they're watching do? Yeah, so there, these stories, you tell them, you get into it, and then they'll ask a million questions there. Don't worry about finishing the story. Right? As an adult, you want to accomplish something. But for kids, it's association, because that's the actual real thing. So sitting, telling a story, going through something. This is to discuss the story. Now, if they ask something else, it takes it off in another direction, go with it. Because wherever the interest lies, that's where you'll get the best benefit. So I've been trying to tell one story, they're asking about another story. Say, no, we'll discuss that later. No, go with that other story. And then you'll get back to this story. Unless, of course, they can't understand that unless this one said. Then that's another thing. It's a progression. But if it's not a progression, it doesn't matter what order it is or what, you know, you're talking Chaitanya Leela and it goes off into something in Gaura Leela or something. It doesn't matter. Like that. The point is to be involved in hearing and chanting about Krishna and discussing things about, you know, how they behave, how they deal, all these things, why they do what they do. So in other words, the cultural aspects of the story, those can be brought out. And if we're aware of that, then we'll start to pick up so much stuff. So now in this is that now we're talking the positive things, we're talking that, now if there's anything negative, then the whole point is what's wrong with the negative? Right? It's not going according to scripture. It's not what's recommended that's there for human life. That's the problem. If it's just, I don't like it, that's not actually good enough, because if we ask why, you have to be able to explain it. So in other words, anything you want the children to know, you have to be able to explain. It's not that, you know, do as I do, don't do as I mean, do as I say, don't do as I do. That one doesn't go down so well. You know what I'm saying? What you have to remember is that there was that generation that was doing like that, and then you have all the, they all react to that. Is that my son? So it has to be, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, how are you advancing? Of course, if we're chanting and doing that, we'll be advancing imperceptibly. We will go on. But if we want to get serious, then we have to be able to know why we're doing that. That's the meaning of what we said before of manana, the second stage of learning. The first is you hear, The second stage is you contemplate and practice. So if you're not contemplating and practicing, they won't contemplate. If you just do what you want to do, they'll just do what they want to do. Does that make sense? So the point is, sometimes, no, they're so different. I've heard this before. But if you analyze it the same, let's say the parent goes to the temple once a week, okay, for the Sunday program, and of course at festivals. And so they do that regularly. And the family's doing that, but as the children grow up, then they don't want to go on Sunday. They'd rather go to their friend's house. And then the parents complaining is that, you know, I don't know, it's so different. The kid's so different from me, he doesn't want to come to the temple and do what I do. But they are doing exactly what you do, because they'll want to go to a festival, because all the friends are at the festival. So what's the same? They go to the temple when they want. The parent goes when they want, they just decided once a week. And the child would go when they want, they just decided at festivals. They're exactly the same, 100%. Details different, but they're exactly the same. You know, let's say you have a basket of apples. They're all apples. You look at them, you go say they're apples. But if you look at each one of them, each one is different from the other. So in detail, they're different. But they're still apples. They taste the same. This is how the child is exactly the same as the parent. They always are. Sometimes you get, they're not like Haridas Thakur. Now, he was a bit different than his parents. Like that. Prahlad Maharaj. You know, so you do get that. So, you know, hopefully it goes that way, not the other way. So, but generally speaking, it'll be just the same, because they grow up in your environment, they pick up the mood that you have, and even though you don't articulate it, it's the same. Detail may be different. Just like parent likes to listen to music, children like to listen to music. But the music may be different. Somebody said. But the principle is the same. So if we're taking it that, no, my children will be exactly the same in detail, no, they're not. They're different people. They're a different soul. They're a different living entity. There's something in common why they're born in your family. There's some element of the consciousness that's common. That's why they're born in your family, not someone else's. But that's the limit of it. You can't say that everything is there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So if one is focused on Krishna, then Krishna being everything, then you have the most common ground. Right? So that point of consciousness, that will then make the best detail. Then, I mean, the best principle. Then detail can be so much different. Like I remember seeing one family in South Africa. I think it was five members of the family. Mother, father, and three kids. And the interesting thing, very enthusiastic family. They came to all the programs, and they were always there, always busy, always that. But the interesting thing about them is each member of the family had a different guru. Not the same, completely different guru. And the fun part was this, each family member was enthusiastic about, you know, taking part whenever any one of the gurus was there. So they all had that same Krishna consciousness, but in detail they had quite different moods. But they were family. So in other words, they're doing the same thing in principle. Or I remember seeing one family in Perth, in Australia. Or a Chinese family. Then, big family, right? They all go to the temple, they pile out of the car, and also I think there was another there. There was some Indian family, I can't remember, I think they were Punjabis. But they get out of the car, they go, you know, they're all going to the temple, they're enthusiastic, they go up to the temple, and each one goes in a different place. Someone goes off to the kitchen, someone goes to the temple, someone goes here and there. And they're there for the whole program, busy doing service and this and that. And after when it's time to go, they all get back together, get into the car and talk about how nice it was and how they were all doing, you know, the different services they were doing, they were listening. So in other words, they were all doing the same thing, service to Krishna. Not that they were doing the same exact thing. We're all serving prasad, we're all holding the spoon together. Right, you know, and then not putting it like, a little bit more, yes, a little, okay. Right, sweetie, you have to let it go a little bit and get it on the plate. You know? You understand? So we're not talking this. That's the modern concept. If everyone's not doing the same exact thing, then you're not doing something. But in your traditional family, the cultured families, is they're doing the same principle of things. And that's what's nice. Does that make sense? And so that's the most important thing that they'll pick up from you. So if you have a foundation in Krishna consciousness, they'll pick that up. You don't, they won't. Or if they do, hopefully you'll pick it up from them. You know, if you're interested. If you're not, then it'll be a problem. Like that. It didn't work out so good between Prahlad Maharaj and his father. Yes. So then, like this, then that's the whole point of like-minded. Rupa Goswami says that Swajati means like-minded. Those who individuals have the same kind of value, same this and that. So within Krishna consciousness, who has the same kind of principle, values, and this, and then application, and that's what then is work together. So you associate like that, your family, your friends, and then also when you're dealing with the educational system, it's the same. You have modern values, you send them to a modern school. You have the Vedic values, you send them to a Vedic school. Does that make sense? It's whatever it is, because what you want to give them, that's then what it should be. So you have to see that they have proper association. That's the parents' responsibility. Right? They don't have to do it themselves. They have to see that it's happening. Right? They do it themselves when they're younger, but as they get older, then they see they're in a proper good association. Yes.
How important is association under the age of five?
How important is association under five? It means it's the same all the way through. In other words, under five, they're at home. They should always be with somebody. They should always be together. Something should be happening.
Oh, but I'm talking about does it matter if they're hanging out with naughty kids?
Yes, they'll pick up. I mean, you know, it's like that's the whole point. They hang out with naughty kids, they'll learn that. Like that. So you just have to be careful. Now, in the modern thing, people don't like that. It's the new thing that you shouldn't have best friends. But don't worry, it's something that'll go away because it's kind of stupid. Because everybody has to become the same. Because I have now, if there's going to be no one has friends, you're just friends with everybody. That means it never goes very deep. It's very shallow because people are different. And so then you'll have to enforce that no one is together and all this and that. And then it will be just like the, how you say, another, quoting another book, overheard of 1984. Like that. It was futuristic at the time. It's a little past now. But the whole point was is they controlled everything. Who you were there, who you're doing with and all that. They did it the way they did. And the main thing about it was all based on political correctness. Like that. So you can see that's just where liberal, modern, non-authoritarian, anti-authoritarian, that's the direction it always goes. People wrote books on that. They wrote them, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. It's always been there. That's just the nature of how things work. So the idea is that association does matter. Who you're with is where you'll develop. You say, no, but then that's exclusive. But what's wrong with exclusive? Everybody's exclusive. You know, so then we're going to say, okay, then marriage no longer. Everyone just hangs out with whoever they want. Are they going to buy that? No, they expect that to be exclusive. So why can't your friends be exclusive? So in other words, people who say all these things, they don't have friends. It's that simple. So therefore, friendship being one of the five rasas, it's a natural thing that you have friends. And Krishna had four different kinds of friends. Those who are junior, those who are equal, those who are elder, and those who are confidential. So it's an eternal principle. So you don't have to worry about what people say. So then we see and hear is that element of authority And that principle there of the dynamic aspect they'll get from the father so much. From the mother, the religious aspect that you do proper work, you get proper results. Therefore, if you're always engaged in proper Krishna conscious activities, you'll get the best results. These are your core elements that the children will pick up from the parents. So that's the natural thing, is that's just by nature how things work. Does that make sense? Fathers would be more into the mechanics of it, mothers would be more into the proper attitude and these things like this. So then we see with this, then in dealing in the educational system, then just as we're saying at home, that you're teaching knowledge and skills, why they're doing it, what's the culture, what's the reason behind it, and at the same time as the educational system should be doing the same. So the whole idea is the Vedic culture is doing one thing. It's consistent. Because what's being taught in the school is what people are doing. In other words, people who do those activities, that they're the ones who train it. The modern is, you have a person teaching you business. You go to the MBA course, there's a teacher there, and they're teaching you how to do business. There's only one small problem. That person does not do business. They're a paid person. Right? Because, look at it. If what they were saying could be applied by them, why would they be taking a salary? You get so much more money if they just use it themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that much of the time these things, it's being done by people who don't do it, or they don't know why they're doing it or anything. It's very unscientific. So the Vedic concept is that it should be known, it should be understood, you should know why you're doing what you're doing. And if you can explain all that, then don't worry, your kids will know all that. Even if they don't articulate it, you'll see later in their life, they'll be able to do it. You take care of the kid, you put in the energy, they can put into energy someone else. You ignore them, they'll ignore everybody else. It's simple. It's direct. It's scary. So in other words, you yourself have to become Krishna conscious. You want your kids Krishna conscious? You be Krishna conscious. Not a show of Krishna consciousness. Kids won't buy it. And especially the older they get, the less they buy. You know, if you're really real, then it's real. You have to say it loudly.
Chanakya Pandit. Yes. Said, after 5, we should love the children.
Right.
And after 5, then we have to be very strict.
Right.
And then after 16, we have to be friendly mood.
Yes.
Can you explain it?
On these three things of Chanakya Pandit. We've been explaining the point of up to 5. The affectionate being there, always being with them. Right? Yes? Now the discipline part, that's where it's difficult for parents to get involved. They can to some degree, but it either tends to be a little too soft or a little too hard. Because the parents are living their life. Right? And in living their life, they have so many things to deal with, then you have the kids on top of that. The kids are part of it, but at the same time it doesn't have the aspect of you can give the full attention all the time. Right? While the teacher, that is what they do. They give that full attention. Right? Because their personal life is outside of that. You understand? So, in other words, the morning and evening, parents are there, but they can't put that much attention under the kids because people have to go to school, people have to go to work, people have to get ready for things like that. But at the school, you're getting up in the morning and preparing and that's all about you as the student. Right? It's not about the teacher. Does that make sense? And then through the whole day, it's about the student, because the teacher then is teaching, while the parent has to do so many things. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's why it's then easier for teachers to then deal with this than parents. So it's a natural standard. Now in the past, in the modern academy, it also worked fairly well because the teachers were priests. At least in the, you know, it means they were always whoever's the religious person, they were the teachers. So the value that the priest had and the value that the parents had were the same, so it worked out. But with the Age of Enlightenment, you know, in the late 1700s, then you have the aspect of the secular state, where they don't want religion to actually have control of the government, of the individuals, of the economy, which is fine. But then the problem is then who's going to put in that time and effort with the children of the character and all that? Because that's where it comes from. So for a few hundred years, it kind of goes, it kind of seems to go. Because people are religious themselves, but each generation becomes a little bit less, until nowadays, you don't like people at school, they make trouble. You know, it doesn't work out very nice. Does that make sense? So that aspect of the parents aren't taking care and the teachers can't take care. And so that means nobody's taking care. In the Vedic system, the parents are doing what they can to take care and the teachers, because there's common values. So if the school has one value, the parents have another, then you have a problem. Because the point is that since they spend that time with the teachers, they're going to come home with that knowledge, that practice. And if the parents don't like that, then you have your kid in the wrong school. Because it should be, you're happy to see that they do those things. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then at 16 means now they're adults, so that means then being adult, they're a young adult, but you have to deal with them as an adult. And so therefore then, you deal with them on that platform. They may be a junior within that, but that's the advantage of the Vedic, is you have grown up with those who are older and younger and equal to you. So you can function in that environment. But if you've only grown up, everybody's the same, you know, you're 16 years old, and so then you're in whatever grade you're in at that point, you know, whatever 11th grade or 12th, you know, 11th grade or 10th grade. And so then, but because you now identify more like an adult, so therefore everybody else, you deal with them as if they're 16 years old. And so then so you can do that up to 29, but from 30, then they're in a different headspace. So you can't actually relate to them. You understand? Because you don't have this understanding of senior to you and junior. Because anybody below 16 is a kid, an idiot. And anybody above you is the same as you. And if they're 30 and above, then they're just old. You know, they belong in a museum or something. You know? Like that. So one has to be able to understand is no, they're dealt with this as friends. So therefore, then if they're trained in this way, then only you can do it. Otherwise, you can't. Does that make sense? So the modern system can't do this because they just see everyone the same as them. Not that they can't make any distinction. That's the problem. Right, because they spend their whole day with people that are the same age as them. There's no mix of ages. So, yeah. Why would they be teaching it? It means how much does the businessman make? How much does that guy make? Yeah, so why, if he knew that and could do that, why wouldn't he do it?
My question is that in the Vedic scenario, the Brahmanas, they are not the rulers, but they train the rulers. So how they are able to do that? Because they are not actually ruling the kingdom. So how they teach this?
Okay. Means they have the Shastric knowledge and all that. That's what they'll teach you. What's the understanding? What's the attitude? In other words, all the sambandhigyan they'll teach you. What's the knowledge? What's the attitude? What's the process you use? What results you can get? And you can see all that. Then if they have a specific, let's say like Dronacharya, he could also teach you how the fighting skills work. But otherwise, then you would learn that, the practice of it from those who are doing it. Just like for doing business, you need character. right? Because if you don't have sense control, you can't invest your money. You'll spend it, right? So sense control is actually very, very important. You're going to get that from the teacher. The Gurukul training is going to show you that. Then you can, but business, you'll learn from another business. Does that make sense? So the whole point is okay, if a child of a businessman who's a business person goes and studies from that Brahmin, he'll understand business. But he can do it only because he's a businessman. But he'll learn the detail of it, you know, and quickly in the association of other businessmen. But the point is who is that Brahmin who's teaching, if we're taking it there, a Brahmin, who's that Brahmin's teaching that business? Who are they teaching? People who will be hired by the businessmen, so they're teaching shudras. So none of those shudras will ever be able to do business. They can work for a businessman and do a very good job. That's what they're trained for. But they themselves can never run a business. You know what I mean? If they want to run a pawn shop or something, yeah, okay. But, you know what I'm saying?
How is a child identified at 16? Maybe it's about 25 that false ego issues. How a child is identified?
Means that the adult mentality is there at 16, because 16 to 29, that's youth. Like that. Before that, they're a child. Like that. You have different grades of the child. You have Pauganda, who was it? Kaumara, Pauganda, and Kishore. So you have three different mentalities. We'll get into that in a few minutes. So these mentalities are there. And so Yovana, that's an adult mentality. So it's different. So they gain that at 16. Problem is if they're not trained for it, they're not a very mature adult. And so then they just use that to make trouble. Vedic system is that age you could do something. Abhimanyu was 16 when he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So it means they could do these things. You understand? So the Vedic culture, everything's accelerated on where you learn it, because the right thing is done at the right time. It's not volume, it's when you add it. Right? How it's balanced. Yeah.
One time you mentioned that under the age of 5 you allow the child to do whatever it wants.
Yes.
So what does that mean? Like
do whatever it wants. That's mentioned. Yeah, a little farther forward. It means doing what they want. Means there's no restriction on when they're hungry they eat, when they're tired they sleep, when they want to play they play, like that. But it doesn't mean that they can behave badly or be destructive. That's never allowed. So many interpret it, or a lot interpret it, that it just means they just do whatever they want. But why is that an advantage for the parents?
Because
they don't have to take care. I can just go do what I want and they do what they want, because I'm letting them be free. Shastra says, Chanakya Panda says. Like that, but that's not what he's saying. They can't behave badly. That you never allow. It doesn't matter, oh no, we'll train them later. No, you have to train them now. Like that. Because they understand, like we said, they understand moods. They don't understand what you're saying. But they understand the mood of what you're saying. Otherwise, how is a dog trained? Because they understand what you're speaking? No, they catch the mood. Right? Just like, I think, Prabhupada and the devotees, they were walking along, I think it was in Los Angeles. And this local dog had come, big dog, and was coming and barking and being quite aggressive. And the devotees were getting worried about it. And so then at one time they're just going and Prabhupada said, don't look, you know, because then you encourage them because they think that they're having some effect. And then when he got, you know, quite close, it was there, Prabhupada suddenly turned around and I think said that he kind of like bent his knees, so he went down, took his cane and whacked it on the ground and went hut, you know, all at once. And the dog just freaked and ran off. Right? That? And so then they were on a walk another day and another dog came up. So the devotee thought, yeah, I can do this. And the dog just became more aggressive because they can tell, is it real or is it not? You know? So that's the... So So the point is you're explaining. Even they're 1 year old. They don't understand what you're talking about in English. But you explain why they can't do that. It's not that you're not stopping them from doing and all that, but you're explaining. They catch the mood. And so then those words, and then when they get where they can start to understand, then it'll all go together, because those words, that mood, that makes sense. They have something to refer it to. This idea is not only at the time when it goes wrong, then I will talk. It's already too late, like we said yesterday, the day before yesterday, about when the river is flooding, you will try to put sandbags now, you'll be washed, the people and the sandbags will be washed away. You have to put it before. So that foundation is before. So you're always explaining, always doing. Then it gets natural when they start asking questions, you ask them questions, and all these things go on very nicely. And then that's carried on by the teacher. They are inquisitive. Because otherwise, if the parents don't answer the questions, and the parents are the ones that like you the most, and questions are therefore not appreciated, that means questions are bad. That's why in the school, the teachers ask, okay, so anyone has a question? No one has a question. Why? Because all those kids' parents never answered their question. It's that simple. And the one that always asks questions that they don't call on, that's the one that the parents did answer the questions. But the teacher his parents didn't answer the questions, so he doesn't know how to deal with questions. Yeah. So in other words, you see, if you do it right, it works out very nicely. If you do it wrong, it goes the other way. You know, it's a vicious circle, or it just works very nicely. But because it's based on eternal laws, it always works. There's no such thing as the Vedic is archaic and doesn't work. It always works. Right? It always works. The tree is there. Now it's 2018, right? It's not 17 anymore, it's 18, right? And not only, we're now in February. So now watering trees, we read about that before, the old literatures and all that. So that must be archaic, right? So it's now 2018. We don't have to water trees for them to grow, right? We don't have to put them in the sun. We don't have to put them in the dirt. It's just whatever we feel, and then the tree will appreciate that mood of that feeling and how we want them to grow, and so therefore they're going to grow so fabulously, right? Isn't it? Any farmer will tell you that, right? No. The technique is the same. Tree goes in the ground, put water, it's happy. That's the point. The laws of nature are eternal. So these things that are discussed that come from Scripture, they're eternal. They don't change. It doesn't matter what modern man thinks. Because if for 6 months, modern man will be saying the exact opposite of what they were saying. So it doesn't matter. You go by the eternal principles. Now, the art is trying to apply that, making it work. You can't just take it as it is and apply it. You say, yeah, okay, for this preparation, you cook the cauliflowers and you add a little this and that. But if you don't know the art, what's cooking the cauliflowers going to look like? You understand? You have to know the art. So that's what association is. That's what practices, sadhana is learning how to make it work. You apply it, it works, great. You continue doing that and make adjustments as you go. If you apply it, it doesn't work, you keep faith in the point, and you keep adjusting until it does. If it doesn't work, you lose faith. That is a person of less faith. Not, oh no, but we're so intelligent. And no, it means you may be very intelligent, but you don't have much faith. Faith and intelligence are two different things. Actual intelligent people have proper faith. But you can be super intelligent and have no faith. It's pretty standard. Right? Like, how you say it? You go to, how you say, Sorbonne? Everybody there is intelligent and has no faith. We all know? Don't know the example? No one caught that? It's a super highly intellectual, very left-wing university in France. One teacher I heard of year before, was fired because they mentioned God in one of their lectures. They were fired. Like that. But, you know, so many intellectuals in the world come out of there, you know. Okay. So now in this, as we see, is the main thrust is on the character. So the Gurukul, the main thing is on the character development. Knowledge and skills is given, but that's used as a meeting to learn the character. Does that make sense? That's what it's for. So, like that. There's a kid over there. Now, if that kid slips and falls out of the tree, now the great affection and attachment the mother has for the kid will be there, but it won't be enough to keep the kid from falling out of the tree. Now, if you're working by the, school of hard knocks, then yes, they're definitely going to learn something. And, you know, with time they'll become good at it, but hopefully they don't get injured in the meantime. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. This is my point. We're the teachers, we notice that. As soon as I saw that kid walking this way, I go, oh no, bricks, tree. Which is it going to be? Right? Are they going to play on the bricks and fall on that because it's all corners, or are they going to try to climb the tree? So they climb the tree. You know? Does that make sense? Parents just think, oh nice, open, very nice place to play. You understand? That's the difference. Okay, so this training then, in this, is for the character. And within the character, then you're going to have the detail of these other aspects. But the point is, if you have the character, you can apply knowledge and skills. And if you can apply knowledge and skills, you will be successful. Right? Because that's what it's based on. Does that make sense? It's not based on your piece of paper. It's based on what kind of character you have, who are you as a person. Because if you look at it, everybody in this room, you're all eating, it's going on, things are happening. Right? You may think it could be better, but you can always think it could be better. But will it be better? That you can't say. Oh, well, if I had gotten this degree, then it would have been so much. You can't say that. There's millions of people with that degree that it's not better. They don't live in a nice place like this. So the point is we can say that. You know, I've seen Krishna conscious parents. They're basically full time, but they expect their children to get modern degrees so that they can do modern work and make money so they'll be secure. Because in Krishna conscious, there's no security. But according to Shastra, it's the material world there's no security. Because even you have all those things, it doesn't mean it's going to go nicely. Right? You're sitting there in London, you have your degrees or don't have your degrees, you have your shop, and then suddenly thousands and thousands of teenagers decide to riot. I don't even remember why. I don't even know if they remember why. And they go out and they burn down everything. And so they burn down your shop. But you have a piece of paper. I got the paper. Why did they burn down my shop? Burn down the shop of the guy who went to Gurukul. He doesn't have a paper. So that's the whole thing, is that this idea is that, no, materially, if I was better, I would do that. You can't say that. Point is whatever you've done in your previous lives, that's the stuff you're going to get now. You work, you don't work, you're going to get it. For the future, if you don't work now, you won't get anything. You know, and for us, we're not worried about what we're going to get in the future, we're worried about a medium to serve Krishna. Therefore, we use Varnashram, even though it's a material system, to serve Krishna. That's what we do. And so, in that process, we're doing it to please Krishna, and along with it, material facilities come. Dharma gives artha, not pieces of paper. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it would be paper, artha, comma, and don't worry about the book. It would go that way, but it's not that way. You understand? Now, if a child's interested in that and they want to go in that, that's fine. But what we're saying is that the thrust of the Gurukul system is not about that. It's about qualifying them as a human being. And then humans, they'll be successful because humans perform Dharma, therefore there will be Artha. And you say, oh, but this one's there and they don't have any money, but would they have had money if they weren't devotees? You can't say they'd have money. I mean, think back. Where were we before we joined? Were we like that rich, wealthy, famous and all this? Just like this. Okay. How many people here are staying in a place here in Mayapur that has marble floors? Okay? Yeah. Okay. Now think about it. When you grew up in your family and you were getting your degrees, did you stay in a house that had marble floors? Raise your hand. Right. Okay. And in this place with marble floors, there's a good chance that there's some Bengali lady coming from the other side of that road there, from Tarnpur, and washing your clothes or washing dishes or doing stuff around the house. How many people have like that? Okay, now, thinking back before you became a devotee, when you were, you know, all this and that, and your parents, how many of you had servants? Raise your hand. Okay, one guy here, two guys here. Generally from over on this side of the world. Right. You have? Yeah, okay. So then some of the old world, they have it. New world, absolutely not. You understand? So we're thinking, oh no, but it's so bad. You're living a lifestyle that people would love to be living. But because of material desire, need, greed, lust, anger, all these things, we think it's never enough. It doesn't matter how much it is. Oh, it could always be more. Because no matter what it is, then you think of something more. It's not like, okay, we get this and we're done. No, we get this. Oh, I could also get that. So we have to remember is that we're doing that from past lives. The idea is to stop that, go back to Godhead. Right? Does that make sense? We're first generation, then we were pretty much involved in that. Second generation means they're doing what you're doing now, and didn't go back to Godhead. Right? So they take birth in devotee families. What are they supposed to do? Continue as devotees, not go to Harvard. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to go to Harvard, you wouldn't be born in a devotee family. You'd be born in some Boston Brahmin family. That's how you do well. Right? But they're born in devotee families. Why? Because devotional service. We have to consider these things. In other words, being a parent is a reality that we have to see. It's not just the sentiment and, you know, all the love and this and that. That's there. But the point is that has to be seen in connection with the Lord. If it's not, then it's just sentiment, and then we'll end up, instead of back to Godhead, we'll end up somewhere else in the universe. Right? So that's not ideal. Does that make sense? Because we'll be back. Right? Yes.
One of the questions that we come across is like, once the child reaches a particular age, say 18, 20, and then he starts blaming you that, you know, you didn't give me an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, but you're projecting that. Are they doing that?
That's one of the main concerns which most people...
Yes, but that's the point, is that you don't want to be blamed. So is that why you have children, to not be blamed? So if you're worried you'll be blamed for that, then why have children? You know what I'm saying? So they say we may be blamed. But then, if you go to Gurukul, you still can do the other things. You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of people in IT that didn't even go to school. In fact, the Google guys, I think all they needed was a garage. You understand? You know. So that's the whole point, is that these things don't require... You get by. You know, because, like we said, everybody generally does a job that's different from the degree they have. Some people may be able to do the same thing, but most don't. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is one has to see, is that you can say that, but this gives you the more opportunity. Now, if you just did that, then which one is it? Now, what if you sent them to the state school? Then, are you worried that they'll blame you? Why didn't you send it to the private school? You know, or you send them to this private school, but you didn't send them to that private school. You know, or you send them to university to be a doctor, but you didn't prepare them to be a lawyer. It's just like this. Can any sane person say that they can go to whatever university they're in, their child's in, admit their child into that university? Let's say they're going to major in business. Okay? Now, can the parent say to the dean of the school, now, after doing the 4-year course that's here and graduated, and if my child is not comfortable with that or can't make it in business, how are you as a school preparing them for another occupation? Can anybody say that? That is sane. We hear it every day. So we're not dealing with reality. It's an illusion. In other words, what you value, you give that to your children. So in other words, that means that parent is not fixed in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if they were, they're convinced that this is the best thing. You get by. Krishna's going to take care. All the animals are eating. Why wouldn't we eat? So the point is we will get what we require. In other words, we may not get what we want, we'll get what we need. But there's this idea that, no, you can get what you want. That's why there's credit cards. That's why you can take loans. You can do all this because then you can get what you want rather than what you need. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the individual. And that what you need can be very big. Yudhishthira Maharaj, what he needed was, you know, a kingdom. They're Kshatriyas. Right? So it's very individual. But this whole point is, no, but they may blame us. But the whole point is now, what happens if you do send them to Karmi school, get the Karmi degree, and afterwards they blame you that, why didn't you give me a Krishna conscious training? What about getting blamed for that? Is anybody asking that question? Zero. So again, it comes down to the parents' faith. You're not convinced. The point is it says, don't become a parent, a mother, a father, right? A teacher, presiding demigod, a king, unless you can save the dependents from death. That's real. That's the duty. So you have to be trying your best. Now, they're an individual. Whether they take it seriously or not, that's them. But you have to be at least trying. So if it's just about, well, you don't want to be blamed, then why become a parent? Why get involved in that kind of a thing? You know, what's the taste of being a parent of something and get blamed because of this and that? And there's a good chance that that parent blames others that their material situation isn't good and it could be better. You understand? So it's going to be the same. So they're worried that their children will become like them. So, if it's not good, why don't they change themselves? Or, then, deal with the consequences. Because the point is, you can't guarantee that because they went to Karmi school, that everything will be okay. Because how many people on the planet go to Karmi school and still don't have position or money or facility? Right? There's plenty of that. But that's, well, what can you do? That's luck, this, that. Suddenly we become philosophical. But when it comes to the philosophy of Krishna conscious, then we can't be philosophical.
Just a thought came about this discussion that generally we are seeing that those who are joining full-time in ISKCON, mostly they are coming from non-devotee families, not regular ISKCON devotee families. And maximum ISKCON devotee families may be all initiated, but their children don't become full-time devotees. What is the reason?
It's just a matter of, like we said, association. Means the point is does that, do they know how to raise children?
No.
You understand? So the point is if you don't understand the science, then so many things may not work out right. So it's just a matter of how you do, what's the association, what's the mood and all that. It's not the form of it, as we see, it's not about the secondary. We're talking about the primary aspects. We haven't talked much detail. Like that. In the morning they talk the detail. The teachers give you the detail of what's going on. But the point is that that principle is not there, the Krishna consciousness is not there. It doesn't matter what detail is there. It's not going to be of any value. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these, so many of the families I know, their kids are Krishna conscious, so I'm not sure what circles you're moving in. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of what's the mood of the parents, how much they know. Now look at these. Are these parents, are these like professionals that they identify as professionals or into their being professional? So then, how did they become professional? Not, they became devotees later. But if you want to become devotees now, you have to be devotees now, not professionals now. You understand? So you have a system where they join later, and so they arrange it that the kids join later. So you can do that. But that's all right for first generation, but why would we do that with second generation? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like first generation had nothing, they worked hard, they got an empire, so is their kid born rich or poor?
Rich,
right? Does he say, well, you go out and make your own money? You know, this is my money, you go out and make your money. No. So then why would we do that to second generation? First, I understand. The second, why would you do it? Does that make sense? Yeah, how do you do it? Oh, yeah. That's right. Still haven't adjusted that. Okay, so we discussed about the element of boys and girls, then the boys, then that element of tending to be unaware, just playing and all that, but not being aware of their surroundings. Then by being in the educational system, by being in the Gurukul, then they're made aware because it's part of their program, they're part of their sadhana, and they have to be aware. While girls tend to always be aware, you know, like that. They're doing all these different things. So they're looking at all the different little aspects and details and all those different things. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then it's two different environments that they're growing up in. So, the emphasis on both is going to be on this devotional attitude and the proper thing. But the boys will look at the knowledge and skills, the girls will learn the knowledge and skills, but it's going to be about what's it for, how does it work emotionally, what can it do there? Well, the boys will be looking at what can it do mechanically and what's the effects. So you see there's going to be always a difference in how they perceive what's being taught. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, so again, it's going to be association. Boys, then you put them with teachers and you value how they do things. Girls, then you associate with those women that you consider that how they live, their values, how they identify themselves, how they deal in Krishna consciousness, that's how they're going to. You appreciate that, then in that they'll pick that up. Because the point is girls want to fit in. So, if they're with people they like, they'll fit in with them. If they're with other people, they'll fit in with whoever it is. They'll always adjust. Does that make sense? You know, it's like another government comes in, takes over the country. As long as you can run your household in this normal way, women really don't care. It's the men that, oh, we have to have our own freedom, our own self, you know, rule, this and that. They'll go out and get themselves killed. Women would rather just have them at home, you know, plowing the field or taking out the garbage. right? If you're dead, you really can't do that much, right? Unless you're down in somewhere in the Caribbean, they are able to engage zombies, but they're the only ones that I know how to do that. Everybody else, it always ends up with some kind of apocalypse, and they have a big war and all that. But down there, they've been, you know, farming for a long time. So the whole point is that women will adjust as long as you can live your lifestyle. So therefore, who you associate and that you like, that you'll adjust to that. That's just the way it is. The men, then they have to be trained, become aware of what the nature is, and then be trained how to use that. That's the whole element. Girl has her nature, but the point is that it's more about things being prosperous. For boys, it's about it working. Trying to get it to work right and this and that, the girl doesn't care. Because what are you getting from that? What's the effect? Right? The family's there, and you go to do something, it doesn't work. Right? So the girl, if it didn't work, she'd laugh, move on to something else. The man sits there and tries to get it to work, and it's supposed to happen. And all the women are going, what's he doing? He's ruining the mood. You understand? Don't understand. You understand? Yeah. Okay. Now you understand that that's how you're supposed to understand. Don't take my word for it. Okay, so then, okay. So in this, then, well, the different ages that are there. So as we said, you have these three groups: the Kumara, Pauganda, and Kishore. Then, in the Kumara, then, as we said, you know, the small children, they do whatever they like. In other words, they're not regulated. It means if you can regulate them, great. But if it doesn't work, don't worry about it. You know, so whenever they're hungry, they eat. Whenever they're tired, they sleep. It works like that. And if you can get that to have kind of a rhythm to it, great. But if it doesn't work sometimes, they wake up in the middle of the night and they want to play, that's just the way it is. You understand? But from 5, then they can be regulated. Right, so at 5, there's 5, 6, and 7, then they can learn all these, kind of adjust to a new situation. They've been in a situation, they're used to it, they're attached to it, but they adjust very easily to a new situation. Because they're not that aware. And so they just adjust. Right? Then 8, 9, 10, then they're more aware of their surroundings. At 8, you can still kind of adjust, but at 9, if they don't like it, they don't adjust. Prabhupada made this point, is that up to 9 you have that element that you can put them into situations and train them in that. At 9 they have to want to be there. So you do have that aspect of they as an individual, then it starts to stick out at that time. But this 8, 9, 10, they do very well. The children, you could say the smartest, because that's the end of the Pauganda. And so they do very well at that time. Then with 11, they go into Kishore. And so this Kishore, then that has, the ego is more there. They think they know things when they don't actually know things. Once I saw a little poster in one devotee's house. I think they had like 7 kids or something. And the poster said that, you know, as a teenager, you know, it's under, you know, we can see that it means you know everything, right? You know, no one has to tell you anything because you already know it, right? Because teenagers think they know everything. So while you're a teenager and you know everything, you should go out there and make it in the world before you become an adult, and then you become stupid. Because for a teenager, all adults are stupid. So therefore, you're so smart, go out there and do things now while you're right. In other words, and that was a Karmi poster, so, you know. Those who are observant notice this. So, then, through this, then, we see is that this earlier age, as we mentioned, they learn very nicely things, they memorize things, learn all these new things. They don't even need to know why, they just kind of do it. They may ask why, you answer, but it doesn't matter. You're teaching them mantras, it's just fun to learn mantras. But then when they go into the Kishore age, they have to know why they're learning mantras. Because for them, it's all about mechanics. What's what they're going to get from it, what's the results going to get from it, like this. Then it goes into when they turn 16. Then you see that then the whole thing is basically just the same thing again, just now at an older age. So just like you had 5, 6, 7 as the first age, 8, 9, 10 is the next age, and then 11 through 15 as the third. Then you have 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. It has the same flavors, just they're older, they're more mature. But the same thing. Because everything just goes in a cycle. Like the chakras. Each 7 chakras in the body, so each chakra then has a major influence for 7 years. And then it moves on to the next chakra until you're 49. Then at 50, then it switches back to 1 again. You understand? So that's why at 50, that's then you move on. Because you're doing the same thing, but now you're doing it from a more mature position. So the same cycles, then they're always going on. Somehow or another, I'm getting the idea that this doesn't really have any value here. Yes?
Sometimes you see that the Guruji training from the, let's say, quote-unquote, practical side of what it says, modern ISKCON may not necessarily be appreciative or ready to accept someone from the... They don't know how to deal with someone from the Guruji system. So how do we...
But who are these people that don't?
I guess they don't appreciate, or perhaps maybe the management...
But they talk about it, but have they ever dealt with someone from the Gurukul?
Probably not.
Yes, that's the whole point. So this is the fun part, is in this modern kind of liberal, educated position, they're actually very narrow-minded and very xenophobic. Because they don't know, they haven't experienced, so why are they saying all these things? They're saying, oh, but if you did that, you would... They're the temple president. What did they do in Karmi school to train them for being a temple president? What degree? Knock me out. Sankirtan leader, head pujari. You know, mentor in the, you know, the, what is, you know, community system. What did they do? Where's their degree? If they say, oh, I did the, you know, the 10-day teacher's course. Yeah. Which Karmi will say, you did a 10-day course? Yeah, come to our school, you can teach, you know, 12th grade. You know, I say, what world are they living in? So they talk all this modern this and that, but they don't do any of it. That's my point, is the devotees are doing all these things because they have that faith and that spiritual commitment. Because of that, that's why they're the temple president. Not because he has some material qualification. Because if he had material qualification, the temple would probably run better on the material platform. But it's the spiritual that goes. The darshans are there, the deities look nice, the prasad is there, the temple's clean. So then we're good. And people come, they see that, they're impressed. Right? If you go to a place, now if we talk about social strata, where in the strata, higher or lower, if you go to their house is clean, nice, everything nicely taken care of. Higher. Okay. Now, if we're following our own tradition, our own standards set by Prabhupada, if you go to the temple, it's very clean, nice, orderly, like that. So, where does that fit in the social status? We're thinking, oh no, we're so below the standard. We're above the standard. You know, so in other words, the higher you go in society, the more they're regulated, the more they control their senses, the more they follow authority, the more they're clean, the more they know how to dress according to occasion, not just what they like to. So in other words, the things that we do, it's the higher rungs of society do. And so everybody's trying to become more high class, so therefore why wouldn't devotional service be attractive? And so from their background, they came from a high class background? They went to Eton? They went to Harrow? I think not. So therefore, then, what's all this talk? They're not doing it. They have position. Oh, you have to have a degree. You can't make it in the world. How many of the GBC have degrees? How many temple presidents? How many Sankirtan leaders? How many, anybody's a leader in the society, how many of them have a degree? You know, at all. let alone specifically in this. And the guys that have degrees, they generally aren't temple presidents of that. No? And if they are, you don't know he has. The guy's the temple president. He washes the pots, but he's got a PhD. You wouldn't know it. But the devotee who's gone out and got a PhD, you know he's got a PhD. He makes sure you know he's got a PhD. And he will not wash the pots because he's too smart to do that. He can do much more important things. So therefore, does that degree actually get you anything? You may say it gets you something in the material world. First of all, we'd have to prove that it does. And second of all, it gets you nothing in the spiritual world. While the other gets you everything in the spiritual world, and they do fine in the material world. Because if you're a practical person, you'll see that they're doing fine. Like that. Does that make sense?
So how do we make that switch to appreciate the guna? Because that seems to be something that's missing a lot of the time.
We have to switch back to taking our own Shastra and value system as the core system, rather than the modern thing of being a professional and that management's going to make ISKCON great again. Right? Because it never was, never will. Devotional service will make it great. Devotees follow devotees. Devotees don't follow managers. Right. Like one devotee, Prabhupada mentioned this, he said about, I think it was Rameshwar. He said he was the smartest devotee in the movement. Like that. And I remember him one day, there was something going on, they were talking about all this intellectual stuff. And he went to, what was considered a good college, Reed College. It's considered a really intellectual, way out there in the ozone kind of college. Like that. And he said that he went to that college. That's why he joined. He was sick of all this weirdo, so-called, not in touch with reality. He wanted something solid, and Krishna consciousness was solid. That's why he joined it. And now we're taking it back to that, and we're not even that? We talk all this head stuff, and we didn't even go to Reed College. Any other questions? Because, yes.
Okay. After hearing from you, I understand that the importance of a teacher in children's life.
Right.
But we see in our society, actually, instead of promoting Gurukul, we are promoting this school.
Yes, because schools are easy, because that's what we went to. So just we went to it. See, it's like this. Most people go to the state schools, right? Very few go to private schools, no? Because people went to private schools, they appreciate Gurukul. Those who went to state school, did your parents have to worry about education? Yes or no? No. Do they have to know anything about education? No. Do they have to know anything about anything? No. Do they have to be part of it? No. Perfect. Therefore, whoever's willing to work with the state school's kind of education, then that means no manager, no parent has to worry about it. It just somehow or another will magically work. And if you have a degree from one of those schools, then you've made it in the world. Do you understand? So that's why it's there. Well, Gurukul means, just like Krishna consciousness, you have to think about it and be focused on it. You have to think about this. And it's based on culture. Well, the state school, it's not about culture at all. You understand? So no one has to worry about it. No one has to do that. And it's the same lifestyle you live. So therefore, I grew up in them. I live a lifestyle. I haven't tried to adjust my life in line with the necessarily all the Vedic things, and so therefore, when my kids come home from that modern kind of school, they'll live the same lifestyle as I do, and I'm Krishna conscious, they're Krishna conscious, everybody's happy. Well, if I send my kid to Gurukul, they'll come home and start telling me all the things that I'm doing wrong. You know? And some parents can't handle that. We've lost so many children from the school because of that. And we've had so many attacks on the school by parents because of that. They can't handle that their child actually values other people's association or sees them in a position of authority or learns the lifestyle from them and not from the parent. And the parents actually militate against the school. It happens. It's just, what are the risks? It's like when you do business, your risk is losing money. Or when you do administration, your risk is the political field. So when you deal in education, your risk is parents. It's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, because the kids, that's another thing. They go up and do this, but the point is unless people encourage them, they don't get into these things. You know what I'm saying? Second generation identifies different. Their culture is Krishna consciousness. The first generation, it's not. They've accepted Krishna consciousness. And then how much they've made the adjustment, it's there. But otherwise, it'll be a mix. For the second generation, Krishna consciousness is their culture. Right? Now it's just a matter of how much they want to follow it or not. But it's still their culture. So that's why you see is first generation only gets along with people basically kind of similar to them. Second generation, they can meet any second generation from anywhere in the world, any background, and get along because they have the same culture. Then you have those who want to follow more strictly, those who don't, you know, the four Regwalas, the three Regwalas, the two Regwalas, you know, like this, or the three Reg, no meat, no fish, no eggs. You know, that was a joke out of Los Angeles. Back then. Does that make sense? That sub over here? Yeah. Got a question?
You mentioned the other day that boys who want to be in the center of attention, they have a hard time in school.
Yes.
Can you clarify for the parents what's the difference between giving energy and putting the kids in the center?
Means giving energy, putting in the center. It's not a problem that they're there. Is that you see that the energy that they're getting is being used nicely. If they behave badly, then that's corrected. So then that gives rise for them to be able to behave properly. See, it's when you give them the energy and they become self-centered and all that, and then you leave that, that's then going to be a problem in the school. It's going to be a problem in the family. It's going to be a problem in the workplace. It's going to be a problem everywhere. So that means that always has to be controlled. You know, it's just like everything is there. You get the potato, but you always also end up with shields, right? So you get the niceness interacting with the kid, all those loving exchanges, but you also have to correct when they're making it too much about themselves. But you have to make sure that when you're explaining to them it's not about themselves, that it's not about you and it's not about themselves. Does that make sense? They're doing something that you don't like rather than doing something that they shouldn't do. That's why when you explain why you don't, then you get back to, is it about what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is it just about, I don't like this? So then yourself, then you can see and then think. So the more you're aware of that, then the better it goes. Does that make sense? So in everything that you do, then there's going to be a risk. Like you were asking before, is you have children, you want to make them Krishna conscious, the risk is they won't be Krishna conscious. Every endeavor, there's a risk. So that comes along with the occupation. You know what I'm saying? You have a house, then there's the risk, can you pay the mortgage? Or can you maintain the house? You understand? So you always have this point of risk. That's where you understand nature, where you're willing to take the risk. Right? Like I remember, it's a common thing that they'll mention. Like, let's say you want to get into certain business things. You want to get into business. One of the examples they give is you have to be comfortable to stand in the balcony of your house with a handful of $100 notes and just throw them out off the balcony. And if you can do that, you can do business. Because when you're doing business, you'll make an investment and money's just going. So you have to be able to handle that because you know how it'll work and when it will come back. Does that make sense? While the fourth, what you're mentioning is then the person who's on a salary, they never have to worry about that. Is that pointing up or pointing at you? Yeah. Does that make sense? So that means everyone's taking a risk. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is your obligations are there, your rights are there. But your rights are fulfilled by someone else's obligations. So that means if you're getting benefit from them, you must be giving benefit back to them. So that's your obligation. Does that make sense? Yes, no, disappeared. Yes.
This is about the devotee's question.
About the devotee's question.
You asked that this management will not work because the devotees will follow the devotees.
Yes.
Devotees, but then Prabhupada sometimes says that ISKCON needs intelligent organization management.
Yes, but that's understand? Intelligent based on what? So does that mean that replaces the previous thing of Krishna consciousness? If everything's about always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, in what way does management replace that? Because if you go in and you just sit in a meeting and they only talk systems the whole time, at what point do they connect how systems works and how it develops Krishna consciousness? How any aspect of that point of systems is bringing out Krishna consciousness or strategic planning? Right? How is it? Because you understand strategic planning?
Yeah, not much.
Not much. Okay, strategic planning means you have a strategy. Strategy means what's your goal. Right? So, then, for us, being Krishna conscious, creating the environments for people who have association become Krishna conscious. So our preaching programs, the cultivation, the temples, the book distribution, the Mayapur city, all these things are ways by which people can get association. And this way become Krishna conscious. That's our strategy. Does that make sense? Now, then you have to apply that. You know, what are the general areas? So to do that, then we have to have a city here. We have to have temples. We have to have books. We have to have all these things. Right? Then you have to apply that. So there's a technique of managing a temple and this and that. You know, you have to actually do it. Then there's the tactical of what, okay, how to manage, how to do this, how to look in the book, what to write down in the book. You understand? So, you see the hierarchy? So now if we say, there has to be intelligent management, what are we talking? We're talking tactical, which is the lowest, the fourth level, the lowest level of this whole system. And then we'll claim that fourth level is the first. Will that ever work? Not in the spiritual society, especially when we talk management and we're not managers. How many people talking management are managers? You know what I'm saying? But by the modern thing is that everybody's equal, so therefore, yeah, then I say I'm a manager, I am a manager. But in the real world, no. If you're a manager, you're a manager, and you're not, you're not. Now there's a saying, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's your option. So these schools, the private schools, like that, like the British schools, it's very much about administration. So they teach people how to lead, how to follow. That's what they teach. Is that being shown in these intelligent management courses? Are they teaching them how to follow? No, they're just having these little plans. Have they showed you what is a leader? Because being a leader is character, is qualities. Who follows a manager? Nobody. Who follows a leader? Everybody. What's the difference? The character. The commitment, the determination, the understanding. Manager just has to know how to manipulate the material energy. Who's inspired by that? You understand? As a person, nobody. Maybe as far as occupation, okay, he's a good man, I don't want to work with that. But as far as your life goes, that person is not going to change your life at all. It's leadership qualities at that. And leadership qualities are Krishna consciousness. You don't get better than that. So therefore, Prabhupada, by teaching that, he had leaders. He was surrounded by leaders. Now we're trying to make bureaucrats. In what society is bureaucrats respected and followed? You know what I'm saying? So saying that is, oh, but we have this, but Prabhupada says that, how are they equal? You know? And why does that saying that makes the other one look like it's not right? So until the faith in scripture is there, faith in what Prabhupada says in the Acharyas, then it won't be seen in this proper perspective. Right? And the apples will not fall very far from the tree. Does that make sense? If we think management's what's going to make ISKCON great, then we're going to get kids like that. And then what's worse, if we're not a manager, then we'll have children who are not managers who are talking managers. Does that make sense? So, therefore, Krishna consciousness is what we're talking. And these other things that we do because we need to do that. But that's not the big thing. The big thing is how to be Krishna conscious. That's the major thing. There's world leaders and all these things going on. There's billionaires, trillionaires. It's all happening. Right? So that's all going on. But who's Krishna conscious? That's not. The universe has been designed by Krishna to be Krishna conscious. That means those who are doing that, then they're the special people in the world. The other people, there's just tons of those kind of people. They're literally just everywhere. Like I've heard of you have in the Japanese tradition, you have the double sword samurai. No, you have the single sword and you have the double sword. The double sword guys are the top guys. So he's the double smartphone. That makes sense? Okay, so basically then tomorrow evening it'll be questions on means anything that you want on in connection with anything we've discussed. Like that, there's no specific topic. So at that time then we'll just address questions. So then if you have some questions, we'll go with that. So that then you can get into any particular detail or particular application or whatever you like. And we'll try our best to answer.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Shalaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura ki
Jai. Okay, so the boys who didn't get it, the brochures, you can come here and get it. Tomorrow morning session from 10 to 12, actually 10 to 1. We're going to have a short internship where devotees will experience different classes and activities in Gurukul. We set a form yesterday and this morning where devotees were applying, writing their names for doing specific activities, but most of the devotees, they want to do everything. So then we decided tomorrow we're going to divide this group in two groups. So then we're going to run the Gurukul schedule, which is first 10 minutes we're going to do that. We're going to divide the groups. Then we start with services, different services for 15 minutes. Goshala, library, cleaning, all kinds of services the boys are doing. And the boys will be coordinating the groups also. Then after that, one group will go to the kitchen for kitchen service. And the other group will go to attend three different classes. After that, we're going to have 15 minutes more of service. And then we'll change. The group who is doing classes will go to kitchen service. The group who is doing kitchen service will go for the classes. And if everything runs okay, we're going to have prasad also for all the hard workers. So there's no need for applying anymore, right?
Means you have verbs and nouns, right? So everything comes from verbs, and so a verb is the action, and a noun is that thing that we do that action, right? So that action may be either a dynamic or not. You know, just like the chair pulls you off the floor. Like that. So like this. And so then all the primary nouns, they're all connected with the verbs. I guess. That's your deity? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so they're all directly connected. So you have the subject and the object, they're the main. Right? And then you have the instrumental, then, which is connected to the verb. The object is what the verb is directed towards. In other words, the subject is the noun that's performing the action, and the subject is the object is the noun that the action is directed towards. And the instrumental is which is helping the action. Right? Then from that, there'll become a result. Because the result's different from the interaction. That's the data. Right? Then you'll have the locative, the place, and you have the, ablative, which means the cause. That's why you're doing that action. So those six are all connected all around the verb. You know, to the verb or connected to each other with the verb. So whichever one's prominent, that's the kind of sentence in this. Because in the modern, you have active and passive sentences. But in the Vedic, you could categorize like that, but there'll, I think two active and five passive kinds. They don't break it down like that. Because in other words, all those nouns can be the prominent. It can be about the place, and that's the whole point. So it's a locative passive sentence. You know, does that make sense? Or a dative passive sentence, or an ablative passive sentence, or like this. And nowadays, they don't like passive, so it's only active. And then all the other, after that, there's another 18 forms of nouns that are secondary nouns. So that'll be all the things that we'll call adjectives, adverbs, all these different kinds of things. You understand? And then one section is nouns that go into verbs that go into nouns, you know, that thing that they switch back and forth. So it's a grammatical thing how it works. But basically, it's that you have these six with the verb, and then everything else connects to them. If that's understood, then it makes it very easy.
So Latin has most of that?
I think most languages other than English have most of that. English is a language that's kind of been put together. It means its basis is in German, but it's had so much influence from here and there that it's more of just how it's used rather than how it's supposed to be used. Now, other languages, there's a grammar. This is how you're supposed to say it. In English, how you say it, that's documented as the grammar. So if you say English has no grammar, then people who are educated, no, there's a grammar and this and that, but they forget that the grammar is there just defining what people say. Just like dictionary. People think the dictionary defines the word. No, the dictionary is only documenting how the word is used. You understand? But Vedic dictionary, that's what the word is. So that's the whole point. It's not actually a very scientific language. It can do a lot, though. So the way of use in philosophy and poetics and that, it's one of the better languages to be able to use. It can be done very nicely. But it's held together very kind of loosely. You know, because whatever they do now, then after 20, 50 years, they'll be doing something different. Like before it was you learned Latin when you learned it. You know, so you show it back to Latin. But I've heard now they don't teach Latin anymore. It's not required to learn Latin. No, but I'm just saying in the you know, your state schools and stuff, they don't do that. Because you have to remember is that at least for the American, I think they're about number 26 in the world as far as countries on how high their education standard is. So they're quite low. But you know, that aspect of that doesn't have any. It should not infer, or it does not have any effect on the attitude of said people like that. They still figure they're the greatest, even though they're educationally not.
Is there some masculine attitude?
It's just a matter of what their interest is. It's more art, it's more this and that. It's just a matter of how it's there, it's also and what they're going. If a girl has a more masculine attitude, then the one thing is there is does she have a father that's active in her life, that seems an authority. The point is, these girls, when they're around stronger masculine mood, then they take on more of a feminine mood. But the point is they have to trust them to do that. That just is how you're going to deal. But otherwise, in the class, it's not going to make that much difference. Personal dealings, it'll make a difference. Because it's just a matter of what they relate to, how they're going to do, what kind of activities they do. So you have a girl that likes to do more active stuff. She does more active stuff. It doesn't matter. Because the point is, she's still a girl. She still do things as a girl. She just may be more active, while another girl may be less active. But it's just in an area of if a girl's involved in an area she's interested in, she'll be active. And if it's an area that she's not sure, doesn't have confidence in, then she won't. So we'll say this girl's very, more masculine, but she's not. She's just enthusiastic there. You know, it just may happen to be, you know, harmless or something.
Tattoos.
Hmm?
Tattoos.
Yeah. No, it's just a matter of if children are raised nicely and then they go through the system and come out, then with time, then, you know, it'll be appreciated. Unless you're rich and famous and rich funds and lots of people here. Support and things like that. But other than that, then that's what you can do as an individual. Because you practice what's there, you train that in your family and children, and then it'll just the culture will grow. Because it's not valued because people don't come from a background where it is valued. Like I said, someone who went to boarding school, they'll value it more. Or at least they can relate to it. They may prefer a modern boarding school to a baby boarding school, but they can relate to the concept. But if they just went to the regular day schools, then they as an individual may relate to it, but it's not an automatic thing because there's no real connection. You know, unless they like to go out camping or, you know, scouts or, you know, something that had that kind of group or thing like that when it did things together. Really makes sense. Thank you. So just their faith in these things, that this is the real thing for how life will work. Maybe for their own personal sadhana, when you get old, it's like the standard thing in the
world.
Yes, everyone should be conscious, everyone should do all the sadhana and all that after you're 50. That's what we do. When you're young, you should go out there, get a job, get things, make money, you know, do all that stuff. And when you're old, then you can do stuff. So, that just means they're, you know, from that background, that's their condition. So, the Westerners have their condition. Yeah, they don't want to do it, because the point is, since when is it important that all different religious backgrounds are coming?
Yeah.
I mean, why does that matter? You know? So the point is you make that decision with the vote. So it's there. It's always this idea that you can Krishna, he's given system. He follows the system. That's how it goes. It works because Krishna's not because I did this or that. In other words, action and reaction is how Krishna's control of action, not us. You think if I manage it in this way, that'll be successful. No, Krishna's pleased. That's the whole thing, but what is this blame? So it's like that. You know, it's like, if you look at it, you know, I could blame my parents for having gone to a state school. They were careful that I went to school where I went. You know, where everything's right. So that means nobody, at least where I grew up, you know, the whole school, there's a big school. Nobody bullies. There are no cliques. There are no groups. It's all the stuff that they wish that they had. That's the way it was. But at the same time, there was nothing of value in it. The most I gained from that was from the wood shop and metal shop teachers. Because they taught discipline. They taught to be practical and to deal with it. They don't do metal shop or wood shop. They don't do
litigation.
So the point is you find other people who would value doing it in that nice way, and then get together and do that system how you want. Because they have a system, what they're doing. You use your system and whatever you find parents that's what they're interested in, and do that. And don't worry about the others who are being separate. We'll say it's all we're being this and that. There are so many, you know, schools that are based on religious schools. There's tons of schools. You don't hear about them. But there are tons of schools that are not government accredited because they want to run their curriculum the way they want and teach all their religious Christian groups. You know, as long as they run their own schools, it's you know, the government allows it.
means that I'm sure they look at the curriculum to see it's there, but they won't get the state degree. They get their own degree. And parents are sent. There's tons of students. It's not like there's, you know, 50 people in the world doing that. There's probably, you know, tens of thousands, almost a thousand people going to those kinds of schools. So, there's been schools that they run the school based on the trivia and quadrivia. It's really solid, solid academics. That is the curriculum. So then, about this kind of thing that they're talking about would just create people that all they can do is not just pay more. It's prophets. They're prophets as books. You just follow prophets as books. Because wherever you read the books, it's always talking about the culture. Oh, okay. So this is for the ship?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. They still get commission? Okay. Yeah. That's for oils and those kind of things.
Monitor.
Yeah, monitor. But that kind of stuff is directed off.
So, I cannot come in at him.
Because they had worship.